More than I need. Well, anyway. Is it better when I do it from here or I go up there? Does this funny pointer thing work? Yeah. What?
One line at least is too much.
I don't think so. Well, there's another line I could put which would make it work. Anyway, I could get rid of a line by changing a line, but I don't think I can just take one of those lines away. We can discuss it in a moment. So if I go from here to here, I produce an R. But what we want is not the operation that says one or more R's. We want the operation that says possibly none. So I might just skip here. This is arbitrary repetition, some number of times, and zero is a perfectly good number in computer science. So that's zero R's. But this says, go in here, do an R, you may do another, you may do another, you may do another, you may do as many as you like, but eventually, if you're going to finish, you have to get out here, right? And we've done this skip over there just to allow the possibility that we do no R's at all. So now we've got quite a lot we can do because we can say what's a, you know, a code like, what's one of your student codes look like? S and then a set, so we can say an S followed by, we could say an S followed by some arbitrary number of numbers, okay? Or what's an internet message look like? It looks like a one of these addresses, or one of those addresses, or one of these codes, da da da, followed by some number of other things that follow on. We can write down all of these kinds of things. So what we end up with if you start putting things together like that, sort of finite state spaghetti. There's lots and lots and lots of stuff. If you try and draw the diagrams, it gets horribly tangled. But if you think of the way they were put together, it's not so tangled. Now, what I thought would happen was that we would be finished there. So what I'm going to do is to just show you a little bit of some other diagrams that I decided we wouldn't have time for. So these are sort of going to be exercises for you, but I'll go through this one. So there are various ways of writing this. We've got this way of writing it, okay? We start at the beginning. We put out an S. We've to a place where we've put out an S, and then so on, or we could think of this completely differently. So, sorry, I didn't expect to make this change here. Right. I was thinking about the machines. We thought about them as the trains, where the trains are looking at things coming past and the train's gone in this direction or a train's gone in that direction. We saw how we could build on that to make one of the carriages. We took the one right at the very beginning, where the automated teller, we sort of say, these are the possibilities open to someone as they go through, okay? And then there was a third one, which is we thought of this machine as actually generating something, as producing a decimal number or whatever, okay? So this is going to be a very slightly different machine. This is going to be a machine where it's going to watch what's coming by, but it's going to be searching for a particular pattern. So you've got, imagine you're reading a text, so you're seeing the first letter, then the second letter, then the next letter. Each time you see a letter, you go somewhere in this machine. And what we're looking for is the phrase, just because it's interesting to form the machine for this particular phrase, we're looking for the phrase S-U-S-S. You could be searching for a word in a piece of text. And in fact, when you search for a word in a piece of text, what actually happens is Microsoft Word or whatever you happen to be using creates a finite state machine and does exactly this kind of thing, going through the text, looking for the word that you first thought of. So it constructs a machine, finite state machine, that we'll search for that word. So I want to give you a little example, and this is one. So we're looking for this S-U-S-S, and the problem is that if I go, the first letter's A, that's nothing to do with it, so I just, in the same state as I was, I'm looking for S-U-S-S. But if I find a letter S, then what happens? Then I'm looking for USS. I've seen an S and I'm looking for USS. And then if I see a U, I've seen an S and a U and I'm looking for SS. If I've seen an S, then I've seen an SUS and I'm looking for an S. But what happens if I see something I'm not looking for? Okay, I can't go back to the beginning because if SUSS is there, but the phrase is actually S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-S, then I can't go back to the beginning and look for it each time because I'd sort of miss, because it doesn't restart. So I have to work out where I am. And that's what these do. If I've not seen any part of it, and I see something that isn't an S, then I've still not seen any part of it. If I see another S, well, I've seen an S and I'm looking for USS. If I've seen an S and a U, if I see anything other than an S, I have to go all the way back to the beginning. And so on. Okay? So, what you will get in an exercise probably next week is some more examples of this sort of thing. But before that, you'll have done a little bit more working on how you can go between the machines and some way of describing them by saying, this machine is put together by putting together the pieces for recognizing more simple machines. Okay? So we'll come back to that. I think that's enough on that for the moment. Somebody had some questions about the exercise, about the XSLT? Yeah. Yes. How do you generate an image in XSLT?